So that's where the strength training comes in because it can kind of minimize any like performance loss in changing distance, changing elevation gain. Like your body is just going to be so much more prepared for anything.
Welcome or welcome back to the Vertrum podcast, Running Long. I'm your host, Francesco Puppi, and I'm a professional athlete for Nike and also a Vertrum coach. Today's guest is Parker Farabee, a trail runner, physiotherapist, and exercise physiologist and coach from Portland, Oregon. In this episode with Parker, we talk about strength training for trail runners. Why is strength training so important, and why do we need strength as trail runners? Of course, you're not bodybuilders. So how much strength do we actually need in our training? What type of strength training do we need in order to get stronger but not bulkier? We will also give some practical examples for the application of strength training into your normal training routine, how you should do it, how often, and for how long. For those of you who are new here, Vertrum is the number one training app for trail and ultramarathon runners of all levels. Our mission is to make trail running accessible to everybody everywhere through affordable coaching. With your Vertrum subscription, you will get a personal coach who checks in with you each week to answer your questions, adjust your training plan, and keep you accountable and inspired. In 2024, Vertrum is again the official online coaching for the UTMB Mont Blanc event. That means that we have designed specific training plans for 14 different races by UTMB, including the UTMB World Series Finals in Chamonix. You can discover more on our app and unlock your best finish ever with Vertrum. For those of you who want to give training with Vert a try, you can take 30% off your first month of training with the code RUNNINGLONG30. So here we go. Without further ado, please welcome Parker Farabee. Parker Farabee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. How are you doing?
Doing well. How's everything for you?
It's good. It's good. When training is going well, I feel good. Sometimes I hate to say that, you know, training plays such a big part in my, like, well-being and mental attitude and mental space, but it is so, like, when training is going well, I'm happy and I say I'm doing well and all that. But luckily I'm really enjoying this base training period, and I feel strong. I'm actually doing a strength program that I'm finding very useful during this base building. And this is actually the topic that we're going to talk about today, strength training and why it's important for trail runners. So I would like to start from here. And then, of course, I can give some examples and some insight on my own situation. But yeah, coming back to the question, why is strength training important, and why do we need strength training even if we're basically an endurance sport? Like, trail running is an endurance sport, and we tend not to associate it with like strength and gym and all of that. But many studies point out that strength is actually very useful for trail runners.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. I think a lot of it ties back to kind of this perception that if you're lifting weights, doing strength work, like, you're just going to turn into this meathead who doesn't have a neck, and like you're going to gain 50 pounds of muscle, and that's going to ruin like your all of your running mechanics, and you're going to be so slow. And it's either you can be strong or you can be fast. You can't be both.
Yeah.
But luckily, there has been a lot of good research coming out, and trail running is such a physically stressful sport. Like, you're on You're alternating just pounding one leg at a time. So you're supporting your entire body weight, then some on one foot, and just alternating that for hours and hours. And so the whole strength training component comes down to basically what we call like motor unit recruitment, of your muscles. It's your brain's ability to talk to your muscle. And when you're fatigued or like really maxing out your strength or endurance, your body is working really hard to get every last muscle fiber to work. And if you're not prepared for that, that's kind of where the risk of injury comes in. That's also where like you kind of hit that physical wall. It's not necessarily the same as bonking, but like,
Or performance reduces, of course.
yeah. And so, yeah, strength is really good for like injury prevention, performance. Like you can train so many different things to just supplement your running. Plus, it keeps it interesting because, like, I know that, I mean, a lot of people get into running because they love running, but sometimes it is a lot to just go run 6, 7 days a week. Like sometimes it's nice to have a day where you do something else.
True. Yeah, to add variety to our training is also important. You mentioned several very interesting things that we are going to dive into in today's conversation. I wanted to mention that for trail runners, strength work is maybe even more important than for track or road runners because we are working to overcome gravity, especially when we're running uphill. And in order to overcome gravity, that is a force, we need muscular force, of course. So that is a key aspect of training specifically for trail and mountain running that road runners may not have. You also mentioned running economy, of course, which seems to improve thanks to cross training. And there are different types of cross training, which we'll try to cover. Injury prevention and running faster. So you mentioned like the brain's ability to recruit muscle fibers for a specific task. And that is like related to the neurologic benefits of strength training, I believe. Can you describe that more in detail? Because I'm really interested in this process that I don't think I've understood 100%. I mean, of course, I haven't understood it 100% because I'm not an expert. But and I don't think even a scientist knows everything about it. But I think it's very important to understand that. Like, talk about the muscle fiber turnover and the body ability to utilize more muscle fibers. And how this improves strength and improves our muscular endurance, I think, or yeah, fatigue resistance, I think. There is this concept called fatigue resistance that is like basically how tired our muscle get during the endurance effort, which I think tends to improve then thanks to strength work, right?
Oh yeah, it definitely does. And that's also where like getting a kind of tailored strength program fits in, 'cause yeah, it's not like this one thing will help everyone. But not to get too into the weeds in the science bit. But so let's say you want to activate your quad to extend your knee. Like your brain sends an impulse down to your leg to recruit like the individual fibers of your quadriceps. And when you're sitting and there's no resistance, it's a pretty easy movement. So it doesn't necessarily have to recruit all of them. And so if you're doing an activity that's pretty light resistant, such as running, like it's not a really heavy sport, it's a
Exactly.
repetitive time endurance sport. you're not recruiting all of the muscle fibers every time, but then as you fatigue, in order to sustain the movement, your brain has to send like the stronger signal, and then you work to recruit more individual muscle fibers to sustain the movement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. So,
And then
like,
there.
is it like, why is it that some muscle fibers are not utilized by the body when you're doing a specific task?
It comes down to a couple things. There's the fast twitch and the slow twitch muscle fibers. So there's some that are just way better going like fast, and power is the fast twitch ones. And so those ones are just not very good at like holding you up if you're doing a wall sit, or even just standing up. That's all slow twitch, 'cause like if your back extensors were made up of fast twitch fibers, we'd just kind of be like rocking back and forth all day because they wouldn't be able to grade the movement correctly. And it's also an efficiency thing. Like your body doesn't want to use up that much energy if it doesn't need to. Like our body is inherently very smart and very efficient.
Efficient.
So it's going to do the least amount of work needed to accomplish what we want it to accomplish. Because if every muscle fiber is recruited every single time you move, like you're just going to be exhausted from like walking to the bathroom. Like it's going to feel like such a full effort activity.
Yeah. So does it mean that when like muscular fatigue kicks in, say like in a trail race where when we are on a long climb and we start to get tired and our performance starts to decrease, maybe is it because we've used up all our muscle fibers? Like, of course, I understand that there are many reasons why, and it has to do with the intensity of that effort. And there's also like the energy limit, so like fuel availability, glycogen, and all of that. But does it mean that the body is recruiting all the muscle fibers, or some of them are still like unused?
It's definitely a combination of like your body being unable to recruit more muscle fibers, and it's also a lot based on like the energy and how quickly you're able to kind of shuttle the lactic acid out of your muscles, because it's a very like complex process. Where was I going with this? Oh, so if you're running up a hill and you hit fatigue, like generally your body's gonna, it'll basically run out of like your ability to recruit more muscle fibers in
Okay.
addition to the energy loss. And that's honestly a perfect example of like why sometimes power hiking is more efficient, because it's a less stressful version. And like when you have 2 feet on the ground, you don't have to exert as much force. So if it's a huge climb, like power hiking might be a really good option instead of just totally using up all of your energy and really fatiguing your muscles trying to run up this incline.
Yeah, I agree. I'm asking this question, which may seem kind of weird, because I think we've all experienced like a mismatch between like our how we feel from a metabolic standpoint. Like we feel that a certain level of effort is manageable from a metabolic standpoint, like breathing, and from an energetic standpoint, we're okay. But like it's like our legs, our muscles can't keep up with it. So that's why I was asking this question. And I think we've all experienced this situation where there is this sort of mismatch between these two engines and qualities. So it's very interesting to understand. It's true that I think endurance sports like trail running typically use up only a very small percent of an athlete maximum like single repetition strength for a specific movement. But the thing is that we're using this amount of strength for many thousands of repetitions. However, the studies point out that increasing maximum strength does seem to have a positive effect on endurance performance. Does increasing maximum strength mean that we're recruiting more muscle fibers or that the single fibers are getting stronger or both?
Both. So it's the two ways to increase muscle fiber recruitment of like a specific muscle group are through either fatigue and time or load. And so that basically fits in with exactly what you were talking about, where sometimes aerobically you might feel okay, like
Yeah,
your breath is
aerobically,
controlled, but like your legs are just on fire.
that's the
And you're
right
like,
word.
why? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And you're like, that's okay. You're like, why are my legs burning when like I can breathe and I feel okay? And so that typically then means that it could potentially be more of like a strength thing. 'Cause if you've ever done like a one rep max on a squat or like a leg extension machine, like it burns. It's not fun. And so it's, yeah, because you're like recruiting so many muscle fibers and your body is working so hard at a neurologic level, even though you don't really realize it. And then in addition, you also get like more efficient contractions, so you use less energy, and then like they do get stronger on their own through that too.
Regarding the neurologic benefit of strength training, I think one reason why it's one reason why it's important to pay attention to the execution of the exercise, because like the neurologic pathway from the brain to the muscle gets like it's like your body remembers that exercise, that movement, and like overwrites it in your brain. So it becomes more efficient to do that specific movement. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the whole term like sport specific training comes in, is you're trying to do things that mimic your activity, and like prepare you for that. And while it's really hard to do that for a lot of activities, there's some like general movement patterns that just carry over really well, like squat, lunge, hip hinge, like those are all just movements we do all day anyways. So it's really good to train those.
Can you talk more in detail about the difference between general and specific strength training and why we actually need both, and if in certain situations one is better than the other?
So I think when the generalized strength training would kind of be like your typical like body building workout almost, where
Your
you're
gym
like,
routine, basically.
yeah, you're like working the same muscle groups. It can be like a combination of machines, free weights, body weights, any of that. And that's like, I mean, that's re just really good for bone health, muscle health, any number of things. but you lose a bit of the performance aspect when you use machines because you're in like a fixed range of motion. And so you're acting on this thing. You're not like moving your body around in space. So like the difference between a squat and a leg press is your feet are moving on the leg press, whereas when you're running, like your feet are on the ground and your body is kind of moving on top of it. It's what we call like open chain versus closed chain exercise. And so when you remove the limits of the machine, you can mimic a lot more of the things your body has to work really hard to stabilize, to keep you balanced, to work on coordinating between arms, between legs. So that's then when the specificity comes into play, is when you get away from the machines and you're doing like cable stuff, you're wearing a weighted vest, you're doing like explosive stuff with a barbell. It's kind of any. That's when the performance sport specific stuff comes into play.
Yeah. And thinking about the training periodization, is one type of strength training better than the other, depending on the specific training block that the athlete is in?
It really kind of depends where you are in your training cycle. And there's a couple different adaptations that you can get from strength training. You can train for pure strength, which is just like, how much weight can I lift? You can train for hypertrophy, which is increasing like muscle size and definition, and then you can train for power, which is how much weight can I move quickly. So there's the speed component. That's what makes it different than just strength. And so if you're like really close to an event, you're mostly focused on like performance and speed, and you're going to be in that taper where you're not running very far, but you're probably running faster. So at that point, you're probably in more of like a power training cycle where it's a lot lighter, it's a lot faster. The volume's going to be pretty low. But if you're in the middle of winter, like we are right now, like being in a hypertrophy strength phase is really good, because then you might even put on a little muscle weight, which, I mean, for people who are running 80 mile, 100 mile weeks, like you're gonna lose some weight along the way. So if you can kind of start a little bit higher than you normally would, you have a little bit more of like a performance buffer, and then you don't have to move quickly because you're so far out from any event that like just working on pure strength and motor unit recruitment is going to be super beneficial in the long run.
Very helpful. Related to this, I wanted to ask you more specifically, what type of strength training do we need in order to get stronger but not bulkier? Because I think that is one concern why many athletes don't do strength training, because they're maybe afraid to put on weight. And of course, like gaining strength without adding too much body mass is important for endurance sport, because we're moving our body, and like a heavier body takes more energy to move around. So what can you say in relation with the type of exercise and type of strength training that we use?
Oh yeah. So the general rule of thumb for building strength without hypertrophy is kind of, they call it like the 3 to 5 rule. So you pick 3 to 5 exercises that you do 3 to 5 sets of 3 to 5 repetitions. And these are all going to be pretty slow and heavy, but any of like the muscle size hypertrophy gains are going to happen from like the 5 to 15 repetition window, probably more like the 8 to 15 repetition window, because you just have so much more time under tension during those activities. But if you're doing a set, 3 sets of 3, like you just don't have the time to really build muscle, but you can. That's where a lot of the neurologic benefits come in, because it's such
Okay.
a short duration, but you're doing so much work in that short amount of time, and like very low risk of really bulking up a whole lot, especially if you're running in addition to it, like your body just won't adapt like that.
Yeah, of course. I think that is also important to point out. Like, if we're running a high volume, it's very difficult to put on weight and
Yeah.
have bulkier muscles. Also regarding like the small number of repetitions that we were looking for in order to get stronger but not heavier, it's like activating that neurologic pathway from the brain to the muscle, but not really creating enough muscular fatigue so that the muscle gets bigger. Is that the idea behind?
Yeah, exactly. So it's you should definitely feel fatigued, but it's not the same kind. It's hard to describe from like a physical perspective, but it's usually if you're doing some hypertrophy training, you get that like the burn, you kind of get that vascular pump where like your veins are bulging out, your muscles kind of feel bigger because you're like your body shows you what it will look like if you continue training like this. It's like a they're like, ooh, here's this little hint of how much hypertrophy you can get. But when you're just doing strength, it just kind of feels like you're tired, but not like your legs aren't on fire. It's just like, okay, I cannot physically lift anymore because I'm neurologically unable to.
Another question that I had, thinking about, okay, we use the word trail running, but if we look at the events that are part of trail running, they go from like a VK, which might be like 2 miles and 1,000 meters of elevation, to 100+ mile races. So do we need different types of strength training, depending on the athlete and his goal? And if so, how can we differentiate between a 100-mile runner and a VK runner, for example?
Yeah, again, that's kind of where having like a skilled professional to like guide you or help kind of create the workouts is really beneficial. You don't have to go personal train 5 days a week, but like there's a lot of good coaches who can do like remote strength programs and anything like that. But yeah, there is a huge difference between like a VK race and a 100 miler, where the VK is like all power, but you need like you're basically just using your glutes the whole time, like glutes and quads, and you need specific ankle mobility because you're running uphill. Whereas if you're running 100 miler, that's got a little bit more like rolling hills, elevation changes, you can get away with some different ranges of motion, but you need like way more hip stability because you're just on your feet for such a long amount of time. So then you might go more of the like muscular endurance training route where it's just doing really high repetitions under low loads because that can kind of mimic like this is what it might feel like after running for 10 hours. Where if you're doing like something just really short and intense, like a lot more power work, a lot more, you might honestly want some hypertrophy work to like get used to that like lactic acid burn and to kind of mentally prepare for what it might actually physically feel like. So yeah, there's definitely different approaches depending on what your event is. And that's where having someone who can kind of guide you through it is really beneficial, because otherwise you're just doing three sets of 10 on like a leg press machine, which is, it's good. There's definitely nothing wrong with that, but it's not really specific to either one of those.
Yeah. I wanted to briefly share my experience working with a strength coach because since last year's fall, I started working with a strength coach because we felt with my coach that it was something that we could try to improve and optimize. And I've actually found it very, very beneficial. And I have a strength routine that is a little different that I do a couple of times a week. And then I work with my strength coach just once a month so he can see me doing the exercises and he can reassess the routine and depending on how I'm progressing and also on how my running training is going, we can rediscuss and readjust the routine according to my feelings and needs. So it's definitely something that has helped me a lot. And I feel like for the energy that I've put in, I've got a lot of benefits out of. So like it's really a part of training that you can and should optimize. And it's actually not that difficult. So I really encourage you all to think about this fundamental part of training and approach it in a more like scientific and systematic way because yeah, it may not be as fun as, doing a long run in the mountains on or yeah, all like the workouts and adventures that we like, but it helps you enjoy those adventures even more if you're doing it. Plus, for injury prevention, for performance, and many other aspects that we've already highlighted. Before we close today's episode, is there a general rule or like a rule of thumb for how much strength do we actually need in terms of like load? And also, if you can give like some practical examples of how should we build a strength training routine, how often should we do it, and for like how long?
Yeah, and that definitely differs for everybody, depending on like how comfortable you are with different exercises, your familiarity, but you can get a really good workout in with just body weight in like 20 to 30 minutes. So it doesn't have to be this huge time commitment. I know that sometimes it'll be like, oh, I have a 3 hour training run. Like you're never gonna have a 3 hour training strength
Oh no.
routine.
No.
Unless you're just sitting around for
Yeah,
half of it.
the
So
longest that
it's
I do is like an hour. And I also wanted
yeah.
to point out that I do everything at home. So I don't have a gym membership or any of that. I just go to the gym with my strength coach once a month. But everything else that I do is at home and takes me 45 minutes to an hour, two times a week, plus two smaller core routines, which are like 20 minutes per session, two times a week. So that what it looks like for me. Of course, it may be different for other people, but I just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah, that's perfect, because it should not be this big,
Yeah,
scary time commitment.
no,
That is
totally unnecessary.
but it's the overarching like training principle of like running, strength training, all of that is it's called specific adaptations to impose demands, the said principle that like all exercise physiologists use. So basically, your body will adjust to whatever inputs it gets. So if you're only running, you're going to get really efficient at running and you might lose some other things. And then if you like change intensity, change terrain, like your body's not necessarily going to be ready for that. So that's where the strength training comes in because it can kind of minimize any like performance loss in changing distance, changing elevation gain. Like your body is just going to be so much more prepared for anything. And yeah, if you don't have a ton of equipment or really any equipment to work with, like just change everything to single leg. Like you can do a single leg squat, you can do lunges, you can do a single leg deadlift. Anything you can do on 2 feet, you can do on 1 foot. You can do single foot hops. Like, and it's just that much harder and honestly way more specific to running. So I have a ton of my athletes just do single leg body weight workouts. And they're like, these are brutal. Like, how did you, how is this so hard? And it's tough. So.
Yeah. Also, there is this principle that is like that we should all also consider that is like the minimum load required to achieve a certain level of performance. Like you shouldn't train more than what is necessary, basically. And I think this
Oh, yeah.
applies really well to strength work. Like we shouldn't do too much. And we should
Yeah.
also always understand that the goal is not strength itself. It's strength for running. Like it's useful as long as it improves our running performance, but we're not like to like 100% interested in lifting more weight or like getting stronger. We're always thinking about running performance, even if we're
Yeah.
strength training.
Yeah, and even another trick to use to shorten the workout time is this thing called supersets, where instead of taking a rest break, you just work a different muscle group
Oh,
or
yeah.
like a different
Very
movement
useful.
plane. And so that can shorten the time. You're gonna get a bit of an aerobic benefit too. And when you're more fatigued, you also won't be able to lift as heavy. So again, it's not like you're not focusing on the performance of lifting. It's like using that to incorporate into running. So that's another good trick to use, especially if you're short on time or you're like really worried that you're gonna get bulky or you don't wanna like lift super heavy things. Like just double up on the exercises and shorten the rest, and
Yeah, I agree.
that'll take care of that.
Do you suggest to incorporate strength training on workout days or more like on easy and recovery days? What's your philosophy?
If you're not used to it, I would say start off on non-running days just because doing a run session and a strength session can be a lot. Like personally, I like my recovery days really light, so I will do like a harder strength workout with a harder run workout in the same day. Just to like have that day be just a really hard day and then I can fully recover the next day. So it kind of depends on like how comfortable you are with the strength work. If you know
Exactly.
how your body responds to strength work, like there's the delayed onset muscle soreness that comes with a lot of strength training. So if you do a workout and then you're just so sore and stiff the next day, like you're not going to have a good run at all. So either planning it around like easy runs where you're just kind of going out and getting time on your feet in low intensity or like an off day. So it's definitely trial and error and a lot of like personal preference and like how you respond to everything. If you can do a hard run without getting sore, then maybe do the strength the next day. Or it's a lot of mix and match and kind of testing out different things. So just keep expectations low, especially if it's a
Yeah.
new program because you're going to be sore. Your run performance might drop a little bit at first because you're doing something new that's different from running, but it's definitely good in the long term for running and just for life in general.
Yeah, you have to adapt and you have to make it specific to your own situation, goal, lifestyle. Everything must be considered when you are thinking about training and thinking about giving your body another stimulus. I think it's always a holistic view that is important to consider.
Yeah. Oh, and I do have one more
Of course.
strength training plug. So there was this video going around. I think it was like around the holidays, but it was basically this elderly man who went in the garage and like dug out this kettlebell, and then it was just this training montage of him like lifting up the kettlebell to his chest, and it looked really hard at first, and then it got easier and easier. And then you fast forward a couple months and he's like at his kid's house and he goes and picks up his grandson and it's this whole heartwarming thing. And you're like, oh, the kettlebell was definitely the same size as the kid. But it's like strength training doesn't just have to be about getting bulky. It can be for like functional things like that too. Like I live within walking distance of the pet store that we get the dog food at. So I'm like carrying home this 25 pound of dog food, which like is now easy because I strength train a lot. But if you're like unable to comfortably kind of carry around things like that might be super hard and intimidating. So it's just generally good for life in addition to running performance.
Agree. Thanks for your insight, and it was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was great.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to our great interview today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting us with a rating and a review in your podcast player or by sharing it on social media, tagging me and Bertrand. We would really appreciate that. If you haven't already downloaded the Vertrun app, I encourage you to do so. There, you can connect for free with our trail runners of all levels in the Vertrun community in our in-app groups. You can stay in trail shape with our free workout videos and get affordable coaching for your next trail running goal for only $25 a month. Thanks again for being here today. Until next time, I'm Francesco Puppi. Thank you for listening to Running Long.